The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Looks like the stream was deleted on Facebook. Try creating a new stream.
Kick off the show here.
We're in green.
So cleaned up.
Welcome. Welcome to the Mafia Cast. It is a victory Friday for our Buffalo Bills. Well, I'm not, but my boys here are on location. Guys, what's going on?
What's going on, man? I think Casey's having a little technical trouble. We're getting a little taste of some live production here today. So we're coming live from Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. It's their Legends and Stars Sports Expo. They do it twice a year. We're here with our buddy, John again from Game On Sports. So he's helping us out. We're here live. There's all sorts of memorabilia vendors here, player signings throughout the night. It's a two-day event. You know, tonight into tomorrow starts at 9:30 in the morning. So got a couple Bills players, a few Bills players here tonight doing signings. Tyler Bass is up at 7:30, and as well as Micah Hyde. And then going right now, I believe soon,
would be scroll through and look at it. Right, it'd be Bernard and Dane Jackson.
Bernard and Jackson are up first. So, they're signing right now. And, yeah, I guess if you're not far from Batavia, you watch the show, come on out and say hi. This is a pretty cool event. So we're glad to be here. And this we're having a little trouble, but it's working better than it could have, I suppose.
Mainly come down to see us and see the players and then come by all this cool memorabilia here that John has available. I wish I wasn't a poor man, because my Bills man cave would be incredible.
Yeah.
With just the stuff that this guy has, let alone what the other 50 vendors have.
Yeah. We also have some background noise going on from some announcements. Yeah. Mike, what is that exactly again?
I couldn't catch it with my headset on. It sounded a little muffled. But I can assure you it wasn't a Bills player yet. But I want to throw out there, it's not limited to just that. Boxer Butterbean was just up a little while ago, and it's not just like football, basketball. There's like wrestling, you know, all sorts of stuff here. So, yeah, it's a really cool event here. We're glad to be here checking it out.
That's awesome. Awesome. Hey, listen, so, hey, we are actually on live at right after a Bills game. This is the first time in a while that we've been able to get the early show after a Bills victory. Let's just start off with that. I'll start with you, Casey. I got it. Buttons, Mike. Sorry. Anyways, we'll let the announcement go first.
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Casey, we'll start with you on as far as the game recap. What were your initial takeaways from this game as it progressed through?
I mean, I texted you guys sometime in the first half. I don't remember exactly when. And it was when Baker escaped that sack. And I was like, this is fun. Like, this is just a fun game to watch. That, like, it was a lot of just a good football game. But it was nice to see, like, them come out and do exactly what we were all hoping they would do. Come out fast, come out quick, you know, hit the short, quick passes, get more people involved than just Diggs, and play at an up-tempo offense that we've seen in the fourth quarter the last 3 weeks we're able to do and do well. So it was nice to see everything happen like that, everything come to fruition.
Yeah, I like Spin's comment here. It was a good first half. I mentioned that. I've been saying to people, I feel like we quit a little early, yeah. You know.
Well, so that was I don't know necessarily.
Made you a little nervous.
I know that there's some people out there that are saying that the Bills took their foot off the gas. But there was a few instances. I don't think that was the case. But I think there was some. There's just some of the drives stalled out. I'm optimistic for where the offense is heading currently. Like, they did a lot of really good things. Love the fact that Khalil Shakir was involved, 6 targets, 6 receptions. Kincaid has had 15 targets the last 2 weeks now, 13 catches, 140 yards, and now his first career touchdown. So that was really great to see. I put out on Twitter earlier some of my thoughts on the game as far as afterwards, of course. And I want to get you guys' take, first of all, though. What did y'all think about the up-tempo, kind of the no huddle, maybe the return of the quote-unquote K-gun?
Dude, I'm down for whatever works at this point.
We're like,
seriously, just whatever's going to work. I mean, it seems like John and I, well, all three of us were talking about it earlier. It was like Josh was a 16-year-old that kept speeding and got his keys taken away. You know, and it seems like that they just took his keys away the last 3 weeks. And now last night they finally gave him back, but they're like, Dad is going to ride with you this time. You're not going by yourself. Like, and that was John's analogy, and Mike and I were like, that's perfect, because that's exactly how it feels.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're just trying to figure out how long that leash needs to be to find that perfect medium.
Right. But, man, they just look like a totally different team, and it's like that's what we've really, really been waiting for. I just want to throw out there, it looks like Terrell Bernard and Dane Jackson are up right now taking the VIP tickets for their signings. So they just announced that for all Bills fans. So,
yeah, if you're nearby, Roy.
Yeah.
Yeah, pop in there. Don't say hi.
Why the hell not?
Heck yeah. Maybe we'll even bring him on. You can stand behind you guys and chit-chat with us for a minute.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, they came out that first drive. No huddle. I love the up-close shots of Josh Allen standing behind center and just surveying the defense, barking out commands. He looked in control. He had 7 runs in this game. A couple of those were design runs, but I really liked that he just decided to take off finally. Maybe there was still a leash on him. I don't know. I don't know if it's that necessarily the coaches telling him or maybe it's in his head. He's like, I need to stop running so much. Who knows what the real answer to that is, but it was good to see him kind of get things going. He did tie Steve Young's career rushing touchdowns last night as well. Yeah. He only needs
maturing, right?
Yeah. He needs only. Yeah. Yeah. The Kincaid Teddy was nice. Yeah. That was great. Amazing. And I picked him up for my fantasy team. So that was double great for that. But if you look at that first 2 drives of that game, they totaled, I want to say 100, I think it was 75 and a 59 yard drives. And they came away with 3 points. That to me is a little bit of a concern. They've got to start finishing these drives. And then it happened again in the second half with those 2 drives. later in the game where there was fourth and short, and they do that fake "I'm gonna go for it" crap, which drives me nuts. I hate that.
One of these days, just do it or don't. Just, yeah.
Well, I think that's like Mike says. They like to set up, and they're keeping stuff up their sleeve. It kind of seems like it was one of those, like, they are playing the long game with that. And one of these times, they are gonna go, you know, because they're gonna eventually. Josh and Diggs are, you know, it's gonna be like Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. They're just, you know, it's just one of those things. Give the luck, and Diggs is just, it's gonna know, you know, just go. And eventually it'll happen. But I agree with you. It's still pretty annoying to watch multiple times on fourth and one at like their 45.
Yeah. And the offense was moving too. So the offensive line was playing great. The running game was going. I don't know. Like, just do it. You know, trust your defense. If you don't make it, trust your defense that they'll get the stop. But man, you look at the numbers in this game as far as what could have been, they could have been up 35-10 by, or 28-10 by halftime. Yeah. And then they came out in the opening drive and got a touchdown. They could have been up 35-10, like nothing. And so they've got to start finishing the drives, and that's you know kind of a little bit of a concern for me there. But the positives, man, Kincaid, Shakir, if they can keep spreading the ball around to those two guys, get them involved, Gabe, they can go a long, long ways. The only other thing I would say add in there is maybe get Cook a little bit more involved in the last game too.
Well, we've seen Latavius Murray playing more and more recently. You know, yeah, Mike's jersey. It just seems like, they're really trusting the veteran to start out early on in the year. And early on in the game, excuse me. And so yeah, it's weird to see, like, Latavius get to, like, technically be the starter with James Cook kind of spelling him. But it doesn't really seem like that. It's like Latavius gets to play quarters 1 and 4, and Cook's been getting, like, quarters 2 and 3, you know.
Yeah, and I think last night's game, I want to say Murray only had like 5 carries. I think he didn't, and it was like 7 yards. Cook had a nice game. I don't remember the number of carries that he had, but he had, I believe, over 5 yards per carry average for him.
You're gonna love this. Casey just got handed something.
What do you got?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I can't see down the name, but
that's a Josh Allen.
Josh Allen and a Dawson Knox signed cleat.
Yeah. Nice. Very cool.
That John just handed to me, and I'm going to put in my bag.
There you go. This is the kind of stuff you guys can get down there. If you're listening, go check them out. They've got some good stuff.
I've seen a Wall of Fame signed helmet. It's insane. Yeah. I mean, you're going to spend a mortgage on it, a monthly mortgage on it, but it's cool. Everything here is just it just makes your jaw drop just seeing it all.
Casey's like a kid in a candy store right now.
Yeah,
a broke one.
One who didn't
get his allowance.
Roy says Shakir will hopefully pan out to be our slot receiver who can flex out wide if needed. Yeah, look, I've said this a few times since we started this show, this whole podcast, over a year ago now. I live in the Boise area. I watched Khalil Shakir grow up here at Boise State. I've seen every single one of his games. Mm-hmm. I know the kid can play. So yeah, we've been, and Casey and Mike, same thing, even though they obviously don't live here. We all three of us have been like tooting that horn and like, come on, we got to get Shakir going. So there's a lot of people that you'll see on social media claiming that they called it, but I'm going to say that the three of us called it before anybody because we knew day one this is going to happen.
Hey, we texted each other the day that he got drafted. We were like, dude, we got Cook and we got Shakir. Like, my heart was filled. I was so happy. Later than we expected to get him too. So that was something else that was funny.
Yeah. Spin is on his way down there. Watch your back there, Casey. He might.
Yeah, we will. He doesn't know what time we're leaving, so good luck.
We do have some free plays to use at the casino when we're done.
Yeah.
Gotta admit that.
So we might have to sell that cleat or something. There you go.
Lauren said, we love you.
All right. Let me jump to the defensive side really quick of the game before we move forward. A couple other things we wanted to talk about with the game as well. But on the defensive side of it, and this kind of goes with our next topic as well, and that's yet all of our impact on this defensive line. So let's start there since, you know, we've got it up. Is Oliver, has he reached that point in his career now where he is the guy that is elevating the defensive line and the players around him?
I don't know if it's that or if our edge is so strong that they're like focused on the edge and he's getting through. You know what I mean? But we're definitely seeing some sort of improvement here. It's amazing to watch. You just, I don't know. We questioned him last year, you know, and then all of a sudden here he is.
Okay, Jason, you're going to go ahead and take 1 through 10 for Gerald.
He definitely is making an impact. I think
1 through 10 for Dane Jackson. 1 through 10 for Gerald Bernard.
It's just been working out.
Yeah, you can't double team everybody. That's the whole thing. And so, like we've all said, it takes different players, different time spans to adjust in the NFL and get up to game speed to truly be the best player they're going to be. Just took Ed Oliver 5 years. You know, I understand like that sucks, like that's rough, but like at least it's sort of happening now. At least it's happening sooner than later. I mean, do we want to keep trying to do this, like, with Kyir Elam? I don't think so. I mean, that's why we saw Josh Norman get the opening tackle of the game last night.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that,
too. It was cool to see him make that play, yeah.
I got to admit, for as much as I've hated on him coming back, I was like, all right, that's kind of cool to see him get the opening one.
Yeah.
And it was a good hit.
It was.
He played well in special teams.
He did.
He had a couple of nice plays in there.
But, I mean, with someone like Leonard Floyd coming off the edge and then mix that with Von Miller coming off the other edge and Groot. They're more likely than not going to double team either Von Miller or Leonard Floyd, you know, or at least chip him. So that leaves Ed, you know, one-on-one. And we've all known, I mean, he's kind of undersized, but he's got the best athletic ability that you could ask for a defensive tackle.
You know, what about I texted this yesterday while during the game, and it was during that last drive that the Bucs scored the touchdown on, and I made the comment about the Jackson disappeared. Then they came back, it seemed like, though. But
the second there was
there were moments, though, where they kind of disappeared. Is that a concern for you guys? I'll start with Mike and with you on this one. Is that something you're concerned about going forward, or should we not be worried?
I had the announcement going, so I couldn't hear that well. What were you saying about disappearing? You're talking about the edge,
the pass rush,
the pressure. Yeah. I don't know if it's not like we wanted to see around the edge, but we're just saying, you know, we're seeing Ed in the middle. But I think teams are, you know, more focusing on that now. But maybe we can use that leverage to our advantage with like the situation. You know, we're talking about here with Ed in the inside. So I would say I'm necessarily worried about it, but teams are going to start focusing on that, I think, because it is our strong point, and hopefully we could use that to our advantage somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Casey?
I mean, with the linebacker situation like in flux right now, like, I mean, it's. I feel like Mike's kind of right. It's like they got to focus on taking away the defensive line. I mean, Daquan Jones was on his way to becoming a Pro Bowler, let alone maybe a second team, first team All Pro. You know, so that's hard to replace. So, and he went, like I said, either last show or a few shows ago, he wasn't known as a pass rusher when we brought him over here. You know, that was like his one knock was he was a great run stuffer, but just could not get to quarterback. And then here we are this year. I mean, he's, you know, basically top five defensive tackle in every category at getting to the quarterback. So, it's just hard to replace that. And, I mean, with Milano going down, you know, it's harder for – and between Milano and Daquan Jones going down together, I mean, it's the Darrell Dodson is going to be struggling, you know, getting past the offensive line to make tackles in the backfield, let alone at the line of scrimmage. Because Jordan Phillips and Tim Settle just don't eat up blocks as well as Daquan Jones is able to.
You know, I found it kind of interesting. The PFF grades came out today for the players in this game. And Puna Ford was actually the top defensive tackle as far as PFF grades go. He earned a score or grade, whatever, of 68.5. The highest one on the defensive side altogether was Poyer, of course, 89.4. Rousseau was the highest defensive lineman, 75.5. Are you surprised to see maybe Puna Ford up that high? Because I got to be honest, I didn't really hear his name called in at any point in the game.
I heard him called like once, maybe twice, but nothing serious, you know. It was in the first half when I heard
Jackson turns 1 through 30.
But what I did like is that we had Rapp at safety and we had Poyer playing linebacker next to Bernard. Now, I mean, I understand that's basically – I mean, that's – a dime defense, but like that, it was working well. You know, it was fantastic. I mean, you know how physical Poyer is and likes to be and wants to be. So just giving him that free range to be like, all right, here, go play in the box. You know, go have fun, go do your thing. So it was. I think that's going to be something we're going to start seeing a little bit more often.
Yeah. There was a comment here from Spin about Puna almost having a safety, and he did. There were 10 quarterback hits on Baker Mayfield in this game, and that was kind of one of the things that I just published an article on Buffalo Lowdown, my takeaways from the game, and one of those was the defensive pressure. Yes, we had 3 sacks, but 10 quarterback hits, those need to turn into sacks, more of those, especially on that last drive. The penalties killed us. I mean, we stopped them twice. There was just some things from the defensive side that I really liked. Get away from pressure. Didn't always make the plays for the ball, but just avoiding the sacks. Were you surprised by how well he was able to get out of some of those sacks?
Baker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, especially that one that, like, right when we were talking – and I was like, this is fun to watch. And when he, like, got around and spun and just got it away, like, you don't expect a quarterback to get out of that. I mean, it's like the Eli Manning in the Super Bowl, you know, like that kind of stuff. A lot of quarterbacks, you just kind of expect them to just go down because they don't want to get hit. They're afraid of what's coming next. So it definitely surprised me, but it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to see that kind of football.
It was a very entertaining game.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, that one where he threw, I'm pretty sure it was an incomplete pass, if I remember correctly, but they had the sack, and I'm like, there's no way he got that off. His knee was down, and they show the replay. It's like, are you kidding me? How does he, like,
that high.
Float yeah. above the ground like he did?
Yeah, so.
He did a good job as far as that part of it goes, but I do want to see if he gets it in the sack. At the end of the day, they still got 3. And Spin, I have not looked at the offensive line as far as who gave up the sacks, and if Torrance gave up a sack, that is saddening. That is sad. That would be his first sack at the college
or pro level. Eventually. Has to happen eventually.
No, it doesn't. Career is there any, sack ever.
Is there a lineman that never allowed a sack?
No, not a chance.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
No way. So just to answer, who was it? I think it was Spin. Yeah, Spin. I did not. That is not my cleat.
No.
As much as I wish it was my cleat, if one of you wants to tip us $350, it can be my cleat, but it's not my cleat.
Yeah, John just wanted to show that off, something new he's got here.
I mean, if you're listening on YouTube, super chats are open.
Yep.
I actually do have a a Josh Allen signed plea on my show. I'm looking at it over there. It's about 2 feet away from me. And then I got the first time I came to Buffalo a couple years ago. So sorry, Casey. I do have one of those.
But it doesn't have Dawson Knox on it as well.
This is true. It does not have his autograph on it.
John wanted us to give you some crap about not making the trip here today.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was disappointed.
Why aren't you here?
I'm still paying off the last trip.
Yeah.
I bet you are.
Travel these days is not cheap. Hey, before we move forward, because I do want to talk a little bit about some of the things, but let's talk about the Kyrie Elam situation. There's a lot of disdain, if you will, towards Brandon Bean for making that selection. People tend to forget, I guess, where Milano was drafted. They already forgot where Dorian Williams was drafted, or Benford, or any number of these guys. They forget about the Josh Allen draft. They forget about the Trey White selection, Gregory Rousseau. All these guys were first round picks. You're not going to hit on 100% of these picks, but does it bother you guys that he, for all intents and purposes, as of right now, looks like a bust? Like, is that Bean's fault?
The draft in and of itself is a lot of it. You don't know who's going to be good. That's why Tony Romo was a sixth round picker, undrafted, whatever the hell he was. Tom Brady, you know, pick number 199. Jamarcus Russell, number one pick overall. You know, like, you like look at the Cardinals. They took Josh Rosen at pick 9, and then the following next year, they're like, nope, let's wash our hands of this. You know, let's call it what it is. It's a bust. It's not going to work out, and we'll take Kyler number one overall the next year. You know, it's, to me, that's smart football, to just know when to cut the cord. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, there's no, just don't eat. I understand there's value on every asset, but you can't overvalue an asset for too long. And I don't think Bean's necessarily overvaluing, but I think he's just waiting for something decent to come in. And what I told you guys yesterday was, I kind of expect him to go for a fourth, fifth round pick, and Bills Mafia is going to lose their mind when he goes for that. And he was drafted for a first. Like, why did you trade him for that? You should have kept him and waited on him, let him be a project. It's like, okay, so how do you want this to go?
The only thing I would add to it is, it's kind of like the Wyatt Teller situation, though. Like, Teller didn't do anything really that made you think that he was going to turn into what he did, and they cut him loose in a trade, and now he's one of the best guards in football. And I'm not saying that's for sure a thing going to happen with Kyrie Elam. I think there is a market out there for him. I guarantee you there's at least one coach somewhere in this league that believes that they can get the best out of him. And to Spence's point, there was a lot of talk about the fact that Elam doesn't really – he's not his own corner.
Right. What I'm taking from the whole thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, though,
the talent's not there. Necessarily, it's just not the scheme fit for us.
Yeah,
you know? And but it's not even that. We took a chance trying to work them in, and it's maybe it just doesn't work, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, he can't keep his hands off of people. I mean, right. That sounds terrible.
He didn't do kindergarten very well.
No, and that's the issue. I think he has the talent to be in his zone or the talent to be man coverage, but he keeps committing these penalties, and I think that's a big problem.
Yeah.
I heard Terrell Bernard.
Yeah, John just informed us Bernard and Dane are both taking off and aren't going to be able to, aren't coming on the show. We were trying to surprise you. John was trying real hard to get one of the two.
That'd have been fun. Maybe somebody else would show up.
We were waiting for. We just wanted to see the look on your face. Be like, oh my god!
It'd have been like,
exactly.
Now interview him, Ron. Not like putting on the spot, right?
On the spot, I got this. No, but yeah, back to Elam. Do you guys think so? The trade deadline is next Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern. Do you think Elam is on this roster next season?
We made the cap move, right? We opened up some cap for some reason. I don't know if it is Elam or not. I don't know if we're keeping him in our pocket and still not giving up on him. like I said, not working in the zone defense. Maybe somewhere in the future we do run some sort of more man coverage. But like you said, the penalties are an issue too. But I don't know if he is a trade target or not. I can't say for certain if I think it's him or who.
I think he's going to be, but I think Bean's going to try for him to not be. I think it's one of those, like, this is probably as high as it will get and as low as it will get for Elam's value. Like, I know that doesn't really make sense, but, I mean, if they play him more and he plays worse, the value's just going to drop. You know, we've seen it's like a used car. You draft him first round. If he's playing okay, you might get a second, third round for him. But if, you know, you draft him in the first round and he plays like absolute dog crap like he has this year, then, like, yeah, you're going to get, you know, a Nissan Altima for your BMW that you're trading in. And Spin's right. I mean, Roy's right. We would need another corner. I mean, we would truly be relying on Josh Norman to be our third corner. So that's where everybody's new fancy name is going to pop up and be Patrick Surtain. But I don't think that, I don't think there's a chance in hell we get Patrick Surtain.
I've heard Henry is a rumor too. Only thing about Surtain is if you're saying that it's not going to happen because the Broncos won't allow it to happen, that I can agree on. But if you're saying it because you don't think Bean will allow you like that, I disagree with that.
Dane Jackson, come on down. Also, all our
draft Dane Jackson.
So, I. Why do you disagree with that?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Disagree with because Bean has done a trade before in midseason. He's brought over Benjamin. He brought over Stephon Diggs, not midseason, but he gave up first round pick for Stephon Diggs. So it's not unprecedented for Bean to go out and throw a first round pick in a trade and get a key player. So that's my only thing is there's a lot of people like there's no way Bean, you know, would pull off something like that. He values draft picks too much, and he does value those draft picks, but he's done it before.
Right, and they're always exploring.
The Broncos
options.
Are open to it. Yeah, they're always exploring options. So if the Broncos are open to it.
Mm-hmm. So here's the issue. Who comes off the field in favor of him?
Surtain?
Yes.
Dane Jackson, that's easy.
Who plays next year when we have Benford, Dane Jackson, Trey White, and Patrick Surtain all on the roster?
Again, that's easy for me. I hate to say it, but I don't know that Trey White's ever going to be the same. His contract is massive, back-to-back major injuries now. A player at that position coming back from a torn Achilles is one of the toughest injuries to come back from. It doesn't happen often. So, and I know there are some examples of guys in the past to do it, and trust me, I'm pulling for Trey White, and I hope he becomes All-Pro White again. But I think the Bills need to be ready for him not to be, and they can't wait to see if that's going to be or not going to be. If you can get a Surtain in a trade, if you can get Surtain in a trade, he's 24 years old. You've got the position locked up at both corner one and two for years. You can let Trey White go. You can maybe even trade him if you want to.
Dane Jackson photo ops come down. Dane Jackson photo ops.
I don't know how. Again, but it gets into if he gets traded here, he's going to want a contract extension. Guys start looking for that contract extension at the end of year three going into year four. Because
he can look all he wants.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. So we're only going to have Surtain for Surtain. Like, we would have to pay, like, they would be, Benford and Surtain came out in the same draft. So we would have to pay both of them the same year. If not, we have to stagger them, and we would have to pay Surtain this year. But then you can say goodbye to Gabe. You know, like, we're going to start losing depth. We're going to lose Gabe. And, I mean, yeah, we're locked up a corner, but now we need wide receiver two. We're going to need wide receiver three, four, five, six. You know, all these receivers are on, except for Hardy, it's on a one-year deal.
Davis is the only receiver coming on the roster that's scored junior. Shakir's still on his rookie deal. He's in year three or year two.
Sherfield's gone. He's a one-year deal.
He hasn't done anything anyways.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's still the depth. That's still our active depth.
But then the Bills just signed another wide receiver free agent who's not going to really play a whole lot. And that's kind of the way this is panning out to be.
Or Justin Short turns out to be that stud.
Yeah, there's that. We don't know about Justin Short. He might become the next Gabe Davis or better. Who knows? I just think that the Bills need to plan ahead because I do have my concerns that Trey White is not going to ever be the same again. And with this contract, and if it's going to free up a ton of money if they don't re-sign him or if they trade him. I don't know what the cap hit looks like or anything. I haven't looked at it. But I know I think he's got, what, two more years counting this year on it?
And I think we can get out of it, like, after this year. Like, with some dead cap. I mean, we'd be eating some dead cap, but, like, I think it's doable compared to what we'd be saving.
And let me – well, I'll spin this over to Mike, cause since you haven't had a chance to say anything for a minute.
Don't do it.
If you have the chance to bring in Surtain, knowing that you have Benford and Surtain that you potentially have to sign at the same time extensions, is that something you're willing to do, knowing that you've got maybe the best duo of corners in the league for the next 2 to 3 years?
Ooh, that's a reach, but I'll let it continue.
A little bit. But we don't know how Benford's going to pan out. He could become one of the top.
You're saying getting rid of White and doing that?
Tickets for Terrell Bernard.
I'm not saying get rid of White necessarily. I'm just saying if you have a chance to have Surtain, do you go for it? Despite the fact that you know you're going to have to spend some money a few years down the road.
Yeah. I mean, if you did do that, I would think your
final call
or get rid of the Trey, right? You definitely want a security blanket there, or you know something. Like you said, it's not guaranteed he's going to recover. And I mean, we were hoping he was right there, and you know he got this new injury. You can't guarantee he's even going to get back to that position again.
Yeah.
So you kind of do want to have, you know, something in line, you know, in case things do go wrong. I mean, he's out of it right now. We got what we got. You put him on the team now, and it would be huge. It would be huge. But then I think you're looking, you're moving on from Trey at that point.
I think
tickets 1 through 10.
Casey, I'll ask you this: which, if we have Surtain and Benford, who you obviously didn't like the fact that I said that you have one of the best duos in the league potentially.
But
who's better? What duo would be better? Give me a couple of duos that you think would be better than a Surtain and Benford right now.
That would be better than Surtain and Benford right now. The Eagles with what's his name, with Darius Slay and Bradbury. The Chargers should be with Jackson and Asante Samuel. Should be. I mean, when healthy, the Cowboys with Stephon Diggs and with Trayvon Diggs and Stephon Gilmore. But I would take Benford and Surtain
over that duo.
This is all just because we've only seen Benford for, you know, now a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like him. I mean, I wouldn't say he's, to me, to be considered like a top duo. Both players would have to be in like top 12, top 15. You know, at their position. That's hard. Like that's how I would build that.
You're talking like our safety situation, like Poyer and Hyde, but it would be corners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that. I can get on board with that. I do think Benford will continue to improve.
I do too. I haven't seen enough yet in order to make that claim.
Yeah.
mean, he played really, really well last night. In fact, for the PFF grades, he was one of the top guys. But yeah. he basically essentially shut down Mike Evans for the most part until like the last drive, basically, when he, you know, caught that touchdown. But
so if he could stay consistent, you know, that's key.
Yeah. I mean, this is all, you know, a moot point because I agree. I seriously doubt we would get Sertan, but it's still fun to talk about. Is there any player in the league right now that you would go after that would make sense and can work?
Mike, go ahead.
I can't even other than like the rumors, the regular rumors you're seeing or things like that. I can't really think of anyone else, honestly.
I mean, are you talking like a splash play, or are you talking like looking?
Not necessarily. Just something to help primarily the defense. But if you think we need a wide receiver and you want to go that direction, that's fine too. Or a running back, whatever you think. But yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be a splash guy, but just somebody that can help come in and shore up one of those positions that's hurting right now because of the injuries. That's not a certain Josh Norman.
I would kick the tires on another corner. You know, just see who's out there. There's Micah Hyde out there doing a signature. I'd kick the tires. You know, I'm the old guy, like Patrick Peterson. If the Steelers start to fall out of contention, you know, like, and we're still in contention, you know, kick the tires, see what he's got, see what they're asking for.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I mean, right at this very moment, that wouldn't even a splash play would just be like going for just a, you know, another big name. Wide receiver, I mean, I was thinking linebacker, but with Poyer dropping down in the box playing linebacker, with Rapp playing higher up in safety, I mean, personally, that solves your linebacker issue. And now I understand it's not Madden, but like,
worked pretty good last night.
I was gonna say,
yeah. Like if maybe he has lost a step, he's just a little bit slower. But playing him in the box takes away that step that he's lacking. Then perfect. He's still got these great ball skills that he showed last night. You know, almost had two interceptions playing in the box. So
yeah,
maybe that's
so close.
Maybe that's the move at linebacker.
I was pumped for that, seeing him there in the box.
Maybe Aaron Maben can come out of retirement.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I'll throw out a name. I mentioned this in a previous article I did with five potential trades. And Derek Brown from the Carolina Panthers. They're 0-1 whatever. They're not going anywhere. So far, it looks like they swung and missed on their quarterback. You know, time will tell.
But it would help to get him weapons. Brown's, I'll give him that much. When Adam Thielen's your best wide receiver, like you need some more help.
It's like DJ Moore.
Had DJ Moore. If DJ Chark.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
And they have give him some time.
They need him. Yeah, I agree. Derek Brown, defensive tackle. To be honest, I don't know if he's a one tech or more of an Ed Oliver. I really don't know that. But I do know he's like 6'4", 320, 330 pounds. He's a big, big man and can fill in that role. And that would allow Puna Ford, Tim Settle, these guys to kind of go back into a depth position. Brown's contract is manageable. I don't remember the exact numbers. I'd have to go back and look at it again. But it is something that I think the Bills could do. And I don't necessarily know they would take a first-round pick. Because, I mean, Derek Brown's good, but I don't know if he's first-round good.
And it's also kind of first-rounders are saved for, you know, a wide receiver, corner, defensive end, quarterback.
Right.
You don't really, you know, Christian McCaffrey didn't even go for a second round, for a first round pick. So I'll be tight if we trade a first round pick for defensive tackle when we could have had Christian McCaffrey. As much as I love James Cook, I'll still be pissed.
Yeah, McCaffrey would have been legit on this team.
A two for a two and a six for McCaffrey, or a one for Derrick Brown. Bro, give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move forward really quick. So we're going to be wrapping this up here shortly, but let's move forward to a little bit of the Cincinnati games. We're going to do a show before then. Speaking of the show, after this week, we will be going back to Thursday nights, 7 o'clock Eastern, 5 Mountain Time, which is my time for the people who listen over here.
For the weirdos. So
that's next, that's next Thursday that we'll be going live. And then, of course, we'll dive more into the Bengals game. But your initial thoughts on that Cincinnati game. This is, to me, huge. We almost have to win this game.
Well, it's kind of the same for them. They're in the same boat we are, you know. So this game is going to be very telling to see who's going to be where in January. That's all I got to say.
I could see us going 6-6 going into the bye, and then somehow making a run. I don't know. That's where my head's at lately. The Bengals game, it's a team I feel like we shouldn't really struggle with, but we're going to.
So 6-6 going into the bye. That means we're going to go 1-3 the next four.
I don't know, man. They've been scaring me lately, but it doesn't mean I'm not saying, like, you know, that's, you know, we're that terrible or anything. I'm just saying that,
I mean,
you know,
it is.
We could have some bad luck and some tight, rough games, and I'm not ruling it out, but I'm still confident we can make it far, you know.
Yeah.
Even if that is the case. Maybe I'm just preparing myself again, you know, mentally, so I can be happy again.
Here's the next four. You got the Bengals, Broncos. That should be a win. Jets, and then the Eagles, followed by the Chiefs. And the Cowboys.
Yeah. I'm saying you have to win that Jets game is the win.
You got to win it. You have to.
Yes. That's the next must-win game for me. And I was saying before this Tampa Bay game, you know, we're in this lull that we might not get it back together until that Jets game, because I think it would mean more than the Bengals game.
I don't know. That's where I'm going to fight you, Mike, if it's going to mean more than after getting – smacked in the mouth 17 times in last January in Orchard Park.
It's a new year.
On top of, you know, like Cincinnati being like that, the DeMar Hamlin. So I think Cincinnati's like always going to be like one of those games for the Bills from here on for a while, where it's like we gotta be. Yeah, it's gonna be like playing Kansas City. And I think last year us three teams like all asserted ourselves at like we should be the big dogs every year. And it just about like for the next 10 years, I feel like one of these three quarterbacks are gonna be going to multiple Super Bowls, like just on a rotating schedule.
Through 30, 1 through 30 from like a high.
To me, this is almost a must win. A lot of the reasons for what you just said, Casey. But I think for the psyche of this team, I think beating the Bengals could go a long ways towards the rest of this season as far as their mentally and the morale of this team. Because you're right, they've kind of become, you know, that thorn in their side and almost – a mental thorn because of what happened with DeMar Hamlin and then getting just embarrassed in the playoff game. Mental part of this. Yeah. From the mental aspect, they've got to win this game.
Yeah.
And I think it'll carry them through the rest of the season if they do. Yeah.
I just want to throw out there that the 6-6 comment was before the Tampa Bay game. I was preparing myself to actually lose that game. When I predicted the score on the Facebook comment, I didn't put a team. I was worried.
Yeah.
It was a 1-point game.
We will wrap this up. So really quick, first of all, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're watching anywhere else, please like and share. Hit the little thumbs up, the hearts, whatever you're listening on. Same on Twitter. Also, we've brought this up a few times. Jump over to Facebook, find us at the Mafia Cast, become part of our community. We talk, we'll just talk bills. That's what we do. And get on there, be part of those conversations.
And we do special giveaways like this.
Terrell Bernard.
And that will be going to the winner, Miss Piazic, tomorrow.
That's fantastic. We will hopefully be doing those, some more of these again. If you do follow the Facebook page, you were, well, both ours and Game On Sports, if you're following both of those Facebook pages, you're automatically entered into the future drawings. Spin says, Casey, taking it and run. Anyways,
Roy,
yeah.
How'd you know we're going to slots?
I think we mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier.
We got to hang out and make our escape when we can because they're ready to thump us.
Pretty much.
All right, we're going to bounce and get out of here. We will see you all next Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Go Bills.
Go Bills.